You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin, episode 46. How's everybody doing? You doing all right? Are you staying sober if you're sober? If you're not, are you staying sane or normal people? Hope you're having a good week. We've had insane batshit weather here in Austin, Texas. We've had like just crazy, stupid, apocalyptic thunderstorms, like power going out. Almost the entire east side of Austin, the power went out last night. It's like, ooh, it's the purge for about 30 minutes. But it was fine. This is going to be kind of a short episode, I am foreseeing, because I've had a busy day and I've got personal things I need to take care of. So I'm going to go do that. But I needed to get this in. And had a couple of things I wanted to talk about, and so I'm gonna get to that, and then get the F out. Let me see. I don't know. It's been kind of a. You can really tell. I don't know when you have apocalyptic thunderstorms. It's just gray and nasty. For multiple days, it really does put you in kind of a mood where you're kind of stir crazy inside and you're not doing much, but you gotta, you know, you're just waiting for it to pass. It's like, well, it's not 90 degrees in May yet, but it's this. So it's like, it's hard to tell which way you want to go. So the two things, I'm going to get to this first thing in a second, but I'm going to end the podcast with something that nobody asked for, which is a brief little, like the TLDR version of the history of grunge music, as well as my recommendations of albums that I think people who aren't like, who haven't just jumped in, like probably haven't listened to, or just haven't, you know, or for the younger people, I don't know, just they haven't heard, or maybe they're aware of them and aware of a couple of songs of them. But the reason is this has been coming up, like the friends of mine have been kind of getting into branching out, a couple of coworkers have, and the funny thing to me is that they all started, like, they already knew Nirvana, and they all started with Pearl Jam, which I can't listen to ever again. I mean, I can, but I choose not to. just not a fan, and overplayed as fuck, that first album. I don't want to hear it ever again. But we're going to get to that second. And I tell you this so that after I talk about this first thing, if you have absolutely no interest in grunge music whatsoever, or even mild curiosity, you can just go, fuck it, I'm out. So, heads up, that's what I'm going to do. And why? Because it just keeps coming up, and I got to get it out there. I got to get it out of me and out of my system. Because that's, you know, that shit came out when I was in high school. Like, my senior year in high school, that came out. So, like, I still listen to it all. So, not necessarily an expert, but I've got context and I've got the info, and it's stuck in my head, and it's got to come out, everybody. It's got to. But this first thing, this TED Talk was sent to me by a friend, a listener of the show and person I know. It was a TED Talk by this Swedish-English writer and journalist named Johan Hari. And he's written about depression and addiction, books about that. But this particular TED Talk was called Everything You Think You Know About Addiction Is Wrong. Now, it's been viewed several million times, so some of you may have watched it. And the first thing I want to say about, before I get into it, is I noticed the trend where people like to just make a blanket statement like, hey, everything that this, everything you know about this is completely incorrect, and there's no way that's true. There's no way that all of a sudden the new generation discovered thing that makes everything else wrong. It's kind of a baiting title. It's designed to make you go, wait, are you serious? What? And also, everything that we've known about addiction up till now is not incorrect. This is just, but it's a really good point and something that people need to figure out, because his Johan talks about essentially the view of America towards addiction is we've been doing things wrong. And I wanted to read a part in there that makes a good point. And I'll just read this here. I met a man called Bruce Alexander. He's a professor of psychology in Vancouver who carried out an incredible experiment I think really helps us to understand this issue.
Addiction.
Thank you. Professor Alexander explained to me the idea of addiction we've all got in our heads. That story comes partly from a series of experiments that were done earlier in the 20th century. They're really simple. You can do them tonight at home if you're feeling a little sadistic. You get a rat, you know, the ones you have at home. You get a rat and you put it in a cage and you give it two water bottles. One is just water and the other is water laced with either heroin or cocaine. You know, depending on whichever one you have at home. If you do that, the rat will almost always prefer the drug water and almost always kill itself quite quickly. So there you go, right? That's how we think it works. And in the 70s, Professor Alexander comes along and he looks at this experiment and he noticed something. He said, we're putting the rat in an empty cage. It's got nothing to do except use these drugs. So let's try something different. So Professor Alexander built a cage that he called Rat Park. And some of you may have heard of this, which is basically heaven for rats. They've got loads of cheese. They've got loads of colored balls. They've got loads of tunnels. Crucially, they've got loads of friends. They can have loads of sex. And they've got both the water bottles, the normal water, and the drug water. But here's the fascinating thing. In Rat Park, they don't like the drug water. They almost never use it. None of them ever use it compulsively. None of them ever overdose. You go from almost 100% overdose where they're isolated to 0% overdose where they have happy and connected lives. Now, when he first saw this, Professor Alexander thought, maybe this is just a thing about rats. They're quite different to us. Maybe not as different as we'd like, but, you know. But fortunately, there was a human experiment in the exact same principle happening at the exact same time. It was called the Vietnam War. In Vietnam, 20% of all American troops were using loads of heroin. And if you look at the news reports from the time, they were really worried because they thought, my God, we're going to have hundreds of thousands of junkies on the streets of the United States when the war ends. It made total sense. Now, those soldiers who were using loads of heroin were followed home. The Archives of General Psychiatry did a really detailed study on what happened to them. It turns out that they didn't go to rehab. They didn't go into withdrawal. 95% of them just stopped. Now, if you believe the story about chemical hooks, that makes absolutely no sense. But Professor Alexander began to think that there might be a different story about addiction. He said, what if addiction isn't about your chemical hooks? What if addiction is about your cage? What if addiction is an adaptation to your environment? And then another, and then later on in that, in his TED talk, he talks about what they're doing, the how is it Norway? I think Norwegians tackled their addiction issue following a completely different model than the United States, and it really works. And that's something to consider. The only thing, drink of water. The only thing I have about that, I find that fascinating because that's absolutely true. It's why the whole idea of being sober is you change. You've got to fill your life with shit, and you've got to do things. You got to live a productive life. You got to get out of the cycle of bad habits, and you know. You've got to find a reason to go forward and do new things and rediscover yourself and all that. Because of that, you fill your life with good shit. You're not going to go back. It also makes sense why there's so much more addiction to not just drugs, but other things in the internet, because we're all disconnected from with social media and everything and the internet. It's really easy to disconnect from everybody and just be isolated in our own little cages. So I totally agree with that. I think he really plays down chemical dependence like completely, like we've been wrong about it. I don't think we have. I think it can be both things. I don't know why people find another thing and they're like, it's got to be this. Everything else is wrong. No, it can be both. You know, you got to take both into consideration. It's absolutely, chemical dependency is a thing. And absolutely, you know, your brain wired to like, you know, you can't ignore dopamine, you know? It's crazy. But that's something I wanted to share. And so now, let's get into grunge, you guys. Because I don't know what you know about it. And this all sparked from me hearing, me reading a post by a friend of mine who's like early 30s. Who openly admitted, he was like, you know what? I don't know the difference between any of these bands. They all sound the same to me, which made me kind of get really defensive, like, that's fucking stupid. They're not all the same. They all sound different. And then I'm like, except that you have to have an interest in it, because pop punk all sounds the same to me. I can't tell the difference between any of those stupid bands. Now, they all sound like Green Day is their only influence. Like, I don't know. So I get it. It's what you know. All right, so here it is, kind of the discern between the different bands, and here's the story, basically. All right. Once upon a time, there was a band called Green River. It's like 1984. Green River was Mark Arm, the lead singer, and he played guitar. But there was also it was Jeff Ament and Stone Gossard were in that band, and other people. And then Green River played for a few years, and they've got an album, or it's a It's an EP, excuse me, called Dry as a Bone, and that's that you should check out. But they were together for about 3 years, and then in 87 they were kind of split. Mark Arm, the lead singer, wanted to be more independent, whereas Stone Gossard, Jeff Ament, and another dude, they wanted to find a major label, and he accused them of being too careerist. He wanted to stay independent, and it kind of came to a head. They had a show, and the band members invited like major label agents instead of their friends to the show on the guest list, and only like two agents showed up or whatever, and nothing became of it. And so that kind of came to a head, and they split up. So when they split up, Mark Arm, the independent, the guy who just wanted to play music, man, he starts a band called Mudhoney. And Mudhoney is the shit. They're a lot, they sound a lot more indie, not a major label band. And people who like the harder grunge shit, or who, you know, people who don't like mainstream music, almost all of them will talk about Mudhoney. And they're still around, and they never hit it big, but they're great. So basically, Mark got exactly what he wanted. What the other guys, what Stone, Gossard, and Jeff Ament, and the other guys partnered up, and they with the lead singer, whose name was Andrew Wood, and they were in a band called Mother Love Bone. Mother Love Bone released one album, and then Andrew Wood, their lead singer, OD'd on heroin and died in 1990. He was the pioneer of ODing on heroin in Seattle. So he did that. And so that was the end of that band. And that is when their friend Chris Cornell from Soundgarden, who was around, partnered up with the remaining members of Mother Love Bone, and they did a tribute album to Andrew Wood, who's dead now. And that album is called Temple of the Dog. And that's what Temple of the Dog is. It's a dedication album to Andrew Wood with all the members of Mother Love Bone and Chris Cornell singing. And because of that, he introduced the members of Mother Love Bone to the guy who guest sang on one song, Eddie Vedder. They all came together and they formed Pearl Jam. And Chris Cornell went back to, Soundgarden. And so that's kind of how it morphed into, you know, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains is playing around. And Alice in Chains gets the first major, first popular album on a label to come out of Seattle was their first album called Facelift. And then shortly after it, then Nirvana hits. And then and then the rest you can kind of look up, but that's how that kind of morphed into the different bands. So my recommendations, if you are interested, is to definitely check out Mother Love Bone's only album. It's called Apple. Green River, you got to check out. It's Dry as a Bone. That's their EP. And let me see. And then you got to check out Mudhoney. Hello. Okay. Sorry, I paused it real quick. The album. I'm giving you one album, you know, from the band that you start with. And so for Mudhoney, you want the Super Fuzz Big Muff. That's the name of the album. All right. And you probably, you know, and you know the other albums of, like, you know, Soundgarden, although you should really check out the earlier Soundgarden album. Louder Than Love's my favorite. Smashing Pumpkins, you should check out their first album named Gish. People don't hear that enough. It's weird because Smashing Pumpkins are from Chicago, but they're like, they got in good with everybody and Chris Cornell liked them. So he's like, no. So they kind of get thrown into the Seattle scene, even though they're from Chicago. And then here's just a few more albums you need to check out. All right, there's a band called Screaming Trees. Their album was called Sweet Oblivion. They were another band that almost they had a hit single, but like people don't really listen to them. You got to listen to that album. Melvins, most people know the Melvins. Melvins is like if you like doom metal, like real slow zhin type shit. Check out Melvin's Houdini. If you like Riot Girl shit, you have to listen to L7. You should listen to L7 anyway, but Bricks Are Heavy That's the name of the album. Check them out. Mike McCready from Pearl Jam. I don't know why people like Pearl Jam now. I don't. They're fine. Anyway, Mike McCready, guitar player for Pearl Jam, when he was in rehab, met a bass player who was also in rehab, and they got together with the drummer from Screaming Trees and did a side project. And then they invited, ironically enough, because they both were in rehab for heroin, but they invited Lane Staley. They invited Lane Staley as their lead singer. And that band was, the one-off band was called Mad Season. The name of the album's Above. Should check that out if you're already into the shit that I'm talking about. Another band called Veruca Salt. They sound a lot like the Breeders, but I like Veruca Salt a lot better. I don't know. The American Thighs was like their big album. Check that out. And then finally, if you're a huge fan of Alice in Chains like I am, then they kind of, it's like, what would, you know, I like them with Lane Staley. I don't much care for them now. But the last, there was an album that Jerry Cantrell, the guitarist and majority of the song, wrote, what, 70% of the songs. He did a solo album that's called Degradation Trip. It's volumes 1 and 2. If you want some depressing, if you want to, it's like, what would a heroin addiction sound like? That's the album you check out, because he was in a major depression because the band broke up. Alice in Chains was dead because Lane Staley was far gone off doing drugs. So in a depression and, you know, getting wasted himself, he basically isolated himself and, you know, wrote this entire album and then recorded it. And it's dark, but it's good. It's called Degradation Trip. So that's and it sounds like what if Alice in Chains had did one, if Alice in Chains did one more album, this is what it would be. So it still authentically sounds like AIC in the past. So that's all my recommendations. I know you don't care, but I had to get this shit out. So that's, oh, and look, I said this was going to be a short episode, and it's just as long as all my other episodes. Every time I say that, I'm like, this isn't going to be very long, everybody. And then I turn around and we're at 23 minutes. That's just the way it is. So we will see you next week. This is John Raymond, and this is Yes, I'm Still Sober. Thank you, guys. Later. Let's ride.